Page 127 of the Ministry of Healing. We do this every day, you'll know it by the end. The only hope of better things is the education of people in right principles. Let the physicians teach the people that restorative power lies not in drugs, but in nature. Is there an alternative to drugs? And what are the true remedies? On that same page, she says, every person should have a knowledge of nature's remedial agencies. How many? Every person should have a knowledge of the nature's remedial agencies and how to apply them. It is important both to understand the principles involved in the treatment of the sick and have a practical training to enable one rightly to use this knowledge. When I'm giving lectures to the public, the biggest draw card is if you make the first lecture poultices, because you're not touching their knife and fork. You're not talking about the dangers of their coffee. And so this is a great way to draw people in. I call the poultice lecture almost the opening wedge. But never allow any of the poultices or herbs or even water therapies to take away from the true remedies. What are the true remedies? The true remedies are up here. And most people don't really want to know about that. They want to keep going to bed at midnight and they don't want to drink their water. They want to drink their teas and coffees or their Cokes or their sodas. And, you know, they just want the fast food. So they'd much rather you talk about this. They'd much rather you talk about poultices. Well, that's a good start. And what I find is, as you present these things, it makes sense. They're so simple. And these poultices can go a long way to reducing the symptoms of disease. So medicine just treats symptoms. Well, as natural therapists, we also do too, because the symptoms are the voice of the body. And so the voice of the body is saying, this hurts. So, yeah, we go there and we do what we can to stop that hurting. But whereas the drugs take away the voice, natural remedies, they do take away the voice, but in the process of taking away the voice, they're healing. Whereas the drugs take away the choice, the voice, sorry, but they're not healing. In fact, that they go against the healing powers of the body. And as we have discussed, drugs can play a role in a crisis. There's no doubt about that. So what do you do if you want reaction very quickly? Well, the hydrotherapy that we looked at yesterday, that we talked about how you can get pain relief quicker than even a drug there. So certainly sometimes that can play a role. Every situation is different. But the beauty of the natural medicine is if it doesn't work, you've lost nothing. Whereas if the drug doesn't work, oh dear, now you've got the side effects. So we're going to begin by looking at the onion. And I think every home has an onion. And I'm going to look at the onion as cooked and the onion as raw. So we're going to start off by looking at the cooked onion. And the cooked onion is the best for an earache. And this is one of the first poultices I ever used when my son James, who is now 43, at the age of 18 months, had a bad earache, and I went to the lady next door because my first daughter had had an earache at about the same age, and after six weeks and four courses of antibiotics, I don't want to do that again. And one of the reasons I went to the doctor is because of fear. I didn't know what to do. And my friends, my mother, they said, don't play with the ears, they'll go deaf. I don't want my daughter to go deaf. I was incredibly frustrated over this long period of time. And what's the definition of insanity? To do what you've always done and expect different results. So I'm not going to do that again. So I didn't tell anyone, because then you don't get the pressure. But I had to do something. So I went to the old lady next door. I'm 25, she's 85. What did your mother do when you had an earache as a little child? And she said, Mum would steam up an onion on the stove. So I went home, I quickly steamed up an onion on the stove. And I cut it in half. And you cut in half across. So when you cut it in half, you're looking at the rings. So when I was in Scotland 3 weeks ago, well, it'll be about 2 weeks ago now, and I told you I had the fevers and the sore throats, and after 2 days, the sore throat was almost gone and the fevers had subsided, and then I travelled. And it's not a good idea, and that's one of my terrible habits, of going into things too hard, too fast, too quick. I really have to give it time. I should have taken it easy until I was fully healed. But all the travelling, I got to Oban, and Oban is on the coast, and I had planned to go to the little island of Iona. Have you heard of the island of Iona? You heard of Columba? In about the 5th century, he and his students on the Isle of Iona, they were writing out by hand the New Testament. So I was keen to go there. And I also read a book a few years ago called Scottish Heroes. And I'd also read about Columba on the island of Iona. So I had booked this trip. By the time I got to the venue where I was going, the venue, the little house, I was staying in the attic of a guest cottage, my throat was starting to get sorer and sorer, and it escalated very fast. And I was doing the K-in, I was doing everything I could, but it was so sore that I went to a restaurant to get some hot soup, because it was getting to the point where I couldn't even drink water. It was too painful. And they always give you a glass of water, but it had ice in it. Oh, I sucked on the ice. That was very, very nice. Never underestimate the value of ice. I'd suck on it and let it run down my throat. That was very nice. My throat was obviously very inflamed. I could eat the hot soup. And then I went and got into my little bed sitter, but it was on the right side and my ear started to ache. And over the next hour, my ear ached terribly and I could see it escalating. What are you going to do? And I thought, do I go to a doctor? How do I go to a doctor? I'm Australian. This is Scotland. What's the doctor going to do? Give me antibiotics. But I've got to do something. Onion. How am I going to cook onion? So I went into two fast food shops and I said, excuse me, could I buy some cooked onion? No, we only send raw onion. So I went back to the little restaurant and I found the staff there incredibly nice and helpful. And so I went in there. And I said to a young man named Richard, he was about 32, I said, excuse me, I've got a very strange request. Could I buy a cooked onion? And he just looked at me. I said, I've got a very sore earache. I'm a tourist and I know that onion will bring me relief. Okay, he said, I'll go and ask the chef. And he came back and he said, do you have to leave the skin? I said, yes. He said, the chef's agreed. I said, I'll come back in half an hour. He said, why? I said, well, the onion has to cook, has to get soft. So I came back in half an hour, and by now it's really hurting. And the onion was 4 times the size of this. It was a big onion. And he had it in a little takeaway container. I said, thank you so much. He said, no charge. Oh, that was very nice. So I went back to my room. What are you going to do in your room? I haven't got anything to make a poultice, but I had a little face cloth and I cut it in half. I had a knife because when I travel, I usually do a lot of my own food in my room. And I wrapped it, and of course it was a lot bigger than this, but I needed something to keep it warm. And I hadn't used the waste paper bin yet, so I got the plastic bag out of there and I laid down and I wrapped it on my ear, and then on my throat, and then put it up there, and then I got a towel and folded it over and put it on and laid down in the bed. It was about 3 o'clock in the afternoon, and I dozed off to sleep. And then I woke up and it was still warm. If you can keep it warm, you can keep it there. So for people that don't want to use plastic, you could use wool.
Yeah.
Wool, you've got to insulate it, because if it gets cold, that will hurt the ear. Now, the cooked onion is a drawer. And something you can do when the onion is cooked, you can squeeze it a little and put it into the ear. But I was by myself, and I was in a lot of pain, and that sounded too complicated. So I just did the onion on the ear. And I dozed and I read for a while, and then I dozed for a little while. And after 3 hours, it was still a little bit warm, but I thought, that's enough. And what it had done, it was almost up to 10 out of 10, which is, you know, excruciating pain. And it brought it down to about a 7. See, we're so used to drugs that we want it to do just what the drug does. But because it brought it down to a 7, I could handle that. And the throat was a little bit better. And so I had a shower, and you can do the hot and colds in the shower, but the ear was too painful to even put cold near. And so I went to bed, and I went to bed at 8 o'clock, and I slept. And I slept all night, praise be to God. Remember, one of those true remedies. Rest. And I woke up in the morning, and it was down to 5 out of 10. And I got my water bottle, I could drink. Mm-hmm. Oh, I said, praise be to God. And I got up and I went out for a walk, and I had my earmuffs on, you must keep it warm. And I felt quite good, and I came back and I had more water. I could even eat. I had crackers, avocado, fruit, nuts. That was my breakfast. And so I went to Iona. I went to Iona and I enjoyed the day. I was a bit disappointed that the Catholics have got in there and put lots of Catholic signs and crosses. And anyway, I did enjoy it. And when I came back, I was very weary. I was very weary. One has to be careful as to not doing too much when you're recovering. But I could still drink, and the throat hadn't risen any worse. And so I just went home, went straight to bed. I went straight to bed about 8 o'clock, and I had a very nice sleep all night. Woke up in the morning, pain in my ear, gone. It was totally gone. So you see what it did? It went from 10 out of 10 down to 7 out of 10, down to 5, down to 4. And then after that good sleep, no more pain in my ear, and my throat was much better. So instead of 10 out of 10, excruciating pain for swallowing, it had come right down to maybe 4 out of 10. I could drink water. And then I had to pack up, but I went on my morning walk first. Remember the true remedies? We're down by the sea, breathing in very, very deeply. Could drink my water easily now. And then for lunch, I went back to that little restaurant. And would you believe that I had carrot soup, carrot and coriander soup, and then I had a sweet potato and caramelized red onion quiche, mm-hmm. broccolini, and praise be to God when he gives you good food. And it's the first solid food that I had for many days, or really solid. And I couldn't see Richard. I so wanted to tell him. And I was just about to leave, and I saw Richard, and I went up with a big smile on my face. He said, did you get to Iona? I said, because of the onion. I said, because of the onion. I said, thank you so much. I said, I just want to thank you for your kindness. Do you know, he just beamed. He just beamed. Because doing good for others, it's just a beautiful thing. Now, the chef and the waiter both know about onion poultices. So it's a powerful thing to do. So here was I in a situation. What do? I'm not even at my Scottish mum's house. I'm in a little bed and breakfast type thing. Well, what are you going to do? Do you know God has a solution? God has a solution through every single situation. And whoa, have not I found that as I travel? Because hiccups happen all the way along. Remember Psalm 34 says, many are the afflictions of the righteous. I think it's verse 19. But the Lord will deliver him out of them all. So hiccups will happen as sure as the sun rises. And don't be surprised when they happen, because there's an enemy out there who, like a roaring lion, wants to devour us. And so, the onion. And do you know where I got this idea? A friend of mine, he always uses onion on his children. And he said they were travelling once, and he said his little boy, it was getting to evening and they still had a couple of hours before they got to their destination, the little boy yelled out, "Dad, I need an onion!" The children knew what was going to help. So I said, "What'd you do?" He said, "Oh, I just went to a restaurant." And that's where I got the idea, is I just went into a restaurant. So you can keep it on there, and what you, of course, do is you wrap it. And remember, those open bits are out. Keep the skin on, because that will hold it in place.
Do you cut it before or after you boil it?
After I boil it. And then I wrap it. Now, when I first wrap it, it was still boiling, so I just held it off a little bit. And I was certainly getting the heat and the fumes, because the onion is a drawer. And whenever there's inflammation in there and the muscles cramp against it, it reduces it. Doesn't heat increase inflammation? It can, but because of the properties in the onion, that reduced it. And then eventually I could place it on the ear. So I wanted to also tell you those stories to show you that when you put an onion on your ear, your earache's not going to go. But if it can just be brought down to where it's manageable. And if my earache had risen up again, I'd just go and get another onion poultice. Can you see how what you're looking for, and we've talked about this a few times, is response. So it brought my 10 out of 10 pain. That's not right. It brought my 10 out of 10 pain down to 7 out of 10, and I could sleep. I could sleep with that.
For the next poultice, you would use a different onion.
Absolutely, because this is drawing. Mm. This is drawing. You can also use the cooked onion poultice for a boil. And a man rang me up. He said, "I've got boils on the inside of my nose." Woo! He said, "I get them from time to time. They are so incredibly painful." And I said to him, "Well, we advise a cooked onion." But I said, "I don't know how you can do it on the inside of your nose." I left it with him. He got back to me later. He said, "I woke up the next morning and the whole side of my face was swollen." He said, "I was in so much pain." So he said, "I just cooked the onion, cut it in half, wrapped it and put it on the, just like this, bigger than this." He said, "It brought so much relief." And he said, "What it did was it brought so much relief and it felt so good, I just kept it on there for 3 or 4 hours." And he said, "When I took it off, there was this moisture happening and it all came away." See, what the onion does with the boil, it draws everything in to the central spot of a boil and the onion opens it. It draws it to the point, and because it's hot and moist, it'll make an opening and all comes out. He said to me, "I can't believe it." He said, "Usually I'm in pain for days." Mm-hmm. He said, "I had it on for 3 hours. It all came away." And of course, once it comes away, there's no pain, because it's the pressure that caused the pain. So there are two places to use the cooked onion. Now we're going to use the raw onion. And I'm going to demonstrate a little bit, and I'm also going to just describe a little bit. So for a sore throat, and I know one night when my throat was really hurting, when I was in Scotland, because I was probably about 3 days with the fevers and the very sore throat, I woke up in the middle of the night and it was really hurting me. So what I did was I got a cloth, I went down to the kitchen, I found an onion, and I just broke up the onion like that. Ideally, you have it very, very thin. And then I folded it over like that. So now I've got that, and I put it against my... Now, what I did in the middle of the night, you know, I didn't know where a cloth is, so I just used kitchen paper. And you can certainly can do use kitchen paper, but in some of the poultices I'm going to show you, they're too wet and the kitchen paper can break and tear, and you don't want mess everywhere. So I put it on here. I put a some cling wrap around that, and then I put a scarf on, and I went back to sleep. And I slept very nicely. And again, that just takes the edge off. So when you're helping someone with this, don't say this is going to take your earache or your throat ache away. It's just going to take the edge off. It'll just take the edge off. And then you can basically just about live with it. And if you've had 10 out of 10 pain, 8 out of 10 pain is very nice. It's very nice compared to a 10 out of 10. So that's another thing you can use the raw onion for.
Question.
Yeah.
Can it be that it burns you?
I've never known it to burn.
Because I did, I mean, it's not onion, but I did it with lemon, and I felt that it's itchy, and I didn't take it off, and I really burnt myself.
Yeah, and I know that you can burn with garlic, and we'll talk about that in a minute.
But not with onion.
No, I have not found so. So in this one, you can put the sliced onion on a tray like this, and you can put it in a room that you've just painted, has a strong paint smell. I got a new fridge about 2 years ago, and I didn't like, every time I opened the fridge, it was just this plasticky smell. And in the freezer too, so I put this in the fridge and I put another one in the freezer overnight. And when I opened it in the morning, it did smell a little oniony, but once I'd taken the onion out, it didn't smell onion, and the bad smell had gone. You can do it with new cars too. Also, if you have a baby who's got a bit sniffly, you can lay this beside their bed so they're breathing the onion fumes in.
Is it better to have slices than to have halves?
If you have slices, you've got a larger surface area. So you've got more onion fumes coming off. And you can also chop the onions into little squares and put them on the bottom of the feet. So how you can do this is you get two socks and chop the onion up into little squares and put half the onion in one sock and half the onion in another sock. And then put the sock or the foot with the sock on it in a plastic bag, because what that will do is it will prevent the foot from chilling because of the wet onion, and it'll also protect the sheets against the onion perhaps staining it. And I'm a washer lady. I love washing, and I don't like stained sheets. So the foot is touching the onion. And it will never hurt. I've never seen it burn. Yes?
Why the raw onion for sore throat? And why not cooked onion for sore throat? And vice versa?
That is true. The cooked onion goes very, very deep. And the heat really helps when you've got an earache. Whereas the onion, that cuts mucus. I think we all know when we chop an onion, you often start crying. Mm-hmm. So the raw onion's nice in there when you've got just topical respiratory. And so you've got an onion, cut it in half, chop it, put it into the two socks, then put the foot in the sock on top of the onion, and then wrap a plastic round and twist it. You could put the onion straight into plastic bags and put the feet on that and wrap it around, but I don't really like plastic touching the skin. And the juice will quickly go through to the sock to the bottom of the feet. Why would you do that? The feet are a reflex for abdomen, chest and head. And with this, you've got a relief of head cold and chest cold. And I saw the effect of this. I've seen it a few times. My little grandson was coughing when my son dropped them off. The little boy had a bad cold and he coughed. And so I went in and put the onion on the bottom of his feet and then put him back to bed. I think he was about 5, not one more cough. It's almost incredible. He coughed non-stop for an hour. I put the onion on the bottom of his feet and he didn't cough again. And about midnight, 1 o'clock in the morning, "Grandma, can I take them off now?" "Okay." So I took them off his feet, and just put them on the bench, went back to bed. And then I heard the other one coughing. Cough, cough, cough.
Oh, no.
So I got up and just put the same one on them. I wouldn't have done it a day later. But it was only a few hours.
Well, we can wrap it with a cotton bandage.
You can put it on. You certainly can. Anything that'll keep that onion on the bottom of the feet. But because it's all loose, putting it in a sock is handy. Mm-hmm. It touches the bottom of the feet. The biggest pores in the body are on the soles of the feet. That's why I'm always cautious about what the soles of my feet touch. So I always buy shoes that have natural fibre. And have natural fibre in your socks. And now I'm going to show you how to make an onion syrup. So to make an onion syrup, we put one layer of onion, chopped onion, and then we put a spoonful of honey. And this looks like nice raw honey. Oh, this is leatherwood. Yeah. Leatherwood's in Tasmanian honey. And then we put another layer of onion in there and then another teaspoon of honey. You can see I'm quite generous, nice generous teaspoon. Then another layer of onion. And then the last one, you put probably about 2 teaspoons of honey on it. And you let that sit for 24 hours. And after 24 hours, a syrup forms. So you see, that's a very generous. And that syrup is your cough mixture. By the end of our demonstration today, the syrup will start forming. So you can see that's very thick honey, but when the syrup forms, it'll be really runny, almost like water. So you let it sit in there 24 hours, and after 24 hours, you strain the onion out, and then you've got your cough syrup. Someone said to me one day, "How long does it last?" I said, "Not long in my house." When you don't give your children lollies and sugars and things, they think that's fantastic, that onion syrup. So what's the dosage? The dosage is probably for an adult, 1 teaspoon 3 times a day. For a child, you might do 1/2 teaspoon 3 times a day. For a 2-year-old, 1/4 teaspoon. Just a little. I'd say to my little ones, if you sit still and let mum do hot and colds or wrap this poultice on you, when I've finished, you can have a teaspoon of onion syrup. Oh, yes, they would gladly do that. When you do this with your children from a very young age, they are very cooperative. And when children are sick, they love being wrapped up. So now we're going to have a look at, you see what's happening to me? Chopping up the onion has certainly loosened my respiratory. Excuse me. So now I asked for garlic and was given this. I guess it is garlic, but it's a great big clove. And garlic is your natural antibiotic. Garlic is antibiotic, antimicrobial, antifungal. It's a very powerful herb. It's very high in sulfur. So if someone has an inflamed stomach or gut, this is not good because it can almost burn them. So if you say to someone, eat this garlic, it's good for you, and they have trouble, now you know why. Yeah. So I'm going to give you the recipe for the flu bomb. And the flu bomb is taken if someone has the flu, someone has sinus, a cold, any respiratory problems. So the flu bomb contains garlic. Now, myself, I might have that whole clove, but someone mightn't like to have that much. They might have a small clove of garlic, as much as you can bear. So I'm just saying garlic. Finely grated ginger. And that's usually about a quarter of a teaspoon. So this grater here, see this really fine one? That will grate it up nicely. And one drop of eucalyptus oil. If you don't have eucalyptus oil, you can use tea tree oil. And I guess if you didn't have eucalyptus or tea tree, you could possibly use oregano. But the eucalyptus oil is really nice at clearing the airways. And cayenne pepper. I'm not putting an amount on cayenne pepper because some people can handle half a teaspoon and some people can only handle a very light sprinkle. The juice of a lemon and 1 teaspoon of honey. Believe me, you could put 4 teaspoons of honey in and it doesn't help. This is a strong mix. And so with that, you mix it into 1/2 cup of hot water. And you drink it. And if someone has a cold or a flu, they could have that flu bomb 3 times a day. And often after 2 or 3 days, that's enough. So when you drink it, you don't have to chew up the, of course, this is crushed garlic and fine grate of ginger. So when you drink it, you certainly don't have to chew it. Just throw it down. Just throw it down. For some people with tender stomachs, they might be better to take that and then immediately have a bowl of soup. That might help to for the stomach to accept it. But a lot of people can drink that with, you know, even while they're on a cold fasting. So we have a lot of bush lemon trees at Misty Mountain. So when the lemons are on, we usually freeze them into little ice cubes and then put the ice cubes into bags so that in the time when lemons are $1 a lemon, we can use the ice cubes. So we had a very industrious staff member who made a huge batch of flu bombs and froze them into little ice cubes so that every ice cube was a dose. And I thought, what? But actually it's turned out to be fantastic, because if we have a guest that starts to get a bit of a cold, then you just take the ice cube out and pour boiling water on it, and by the time that ice cube's melted, it's, you know, drinkable, and there's their flu bomb. So it's actually been very, very handy. So I think still today we have a whole lot of frozen flu bombs in the freezer. But you will find that it greatly reduces the symptoms of a cold. It helps to clear the head. Very nice on a sore throat. Chest cold, any respiratory, you can use the flu bomb. But what about a baby? You can't do that for a baby. So what you can do for a baby is finely slice the garlic. You can't let the garlic touch the skin or it will burn the skin. Remember what I said? This is high in sulfur. And so I have done this many times with my babies and my grandbabies, is you get a cloth like that and you put a couple of layers of finely sliced garlic on the cloth. And then you wrap it onto the bottom of the feet like that. So that will never burn as long as there's a cloth between the garlic and the skin. And if it's a little baby, you just put the little booty on. You can smell it on their breath in about in a few minutes. Now, I remember after I'd given demos like this at our little local church, this is many years ago and my children were still at home, a lady came into church with her baby, and as soon as she walked in, we all knew the baby had garlic on the feet because we could smell it. But my son James, he often used to get chest colds. So I would wrap the garlic on his feet like this and put a sock on and put the shoe on and send him off to play. And every step he's taking, what's happening? He's squishing that garlic and a little bit more's going and a little bit more's going in. At the end of the day, when I gave him his bath and I unwrapped him, the garlic looked like pieces of dried out leather. There's not a drop left. If you crush the garlic, it's too much all at once and that can cause the burn. But if you just do the slices, then little by little, the body will take it in. So what's the garlic going to do when you do that? Remember Psalm 104 verse 14, that God gave herbs for the service of man? When that garlic goes into the blood, your body will take it where it needs to go. And it's very good on respiratory. And so often it'll help to clear the chest. It'll help to clear the airways. Now, an old lady named Daisy. Now, Daisy was about 80 when I met her and she introduced me to a lot of natural remedies. And I was only about 25 at the time. And she told me that what she used to do to her babies if they had a cold, she'd get a drop of eucalyptus oil on her finger and she'd touch it on their fontanelle, you know, the soft spot at the top of the head. And she said that that would help to clear the airways because you don't want to put eucalyptus here on a tiny baby. You're hesitant to put it here. They could put it on a toddler and they will breathe it in. It will certainly help. So she put it on the fontanelle. So that's, you know, first 3-4 months. And I remember when my baby had a cold and I'd put the eucalyptus oil, just one drop on the fontanelle, I'd put the bottle back on the cupboard, I'd go back to bed, lie down to feed the baby, and I found they could feed. It seemed to clear the airways.
And the garlic for the baby, you'd rather do that for the baby than the onion?
You could do either. You could do one night and the other the other night. And you can see what it does. But the garlic's definitely a lot stronger. And what I found with the onion, it just seems to stop the night cough. You almost have to do it to believe it. It seems too good to be true, but I've seen it happen so many times. I've seen it happen with my grandbabies, Well, I didn't know that one when my babies were little. I knew the garlic, but I didn't know the onion. Now we're going to look at ginger. Ginger as a herb is well known for its anti-nausea effect. And if you go to the health food shop and get seasickness or car sickness tablets, it's just compressed ginger. Mm-hmm. So ginger tea can be great for a mother that has, say, morning sickness. It just can help take the edge off morning sickness or nausea. It can also help if you've got an upset stomach to sip on ginger tea. And it can also help to boost hydrochloric acid. We've looked this week a little bit at boosting that hydrochloric acid. And so the ginger tea can certainly do that. Internally, it can be taken, again, for nausea, but it also helps to reduce inflammation. And, of course, it's used in the flu bomb. I was at a function one day and we had a break and I saw a girl with a tiny little grater like that, but it was tiny. She had a teapot and she was grating ginger and I said, ginger tea, because that's the nicest ginger tea, is to finely grate the ginger and just pour boiling water on a teapot. It's my favourite tea. So I do a teaspoon with a cup of boiling water. Now, if you find that too strong, you just do 2 cups of boiling water. Just do it to whatever you like, but it's really got a bite. And she said, yes. She said, I'm an entertainer. I'm a singer. She said, I was in Greece. I lost my voice. And a little Greek lady made me ginger tea. She said, I sang that night. So she said, everywhere I go, I have my little grater. I have my teapot. And I buy the ginger. And she swears by it now. If you go to Asia and have a massage, when your massage is finished, they always give you a cup of ginger tea. Ginger tea can also warm a person from the inside. If a person is very chilled and they have a cup of ginger tea, it can warm them from the inside. But you can also use ginger externally. And externally, this is the way to remember, is ginger is for joints. So ginger, and you see what I do, I was allowed to cut up this tea towel. It still looked pretty good to me, but I was promised I could cut it up. What I have here is a sheet. And the sheet is good. You know, as soon as the sheets start to get a little rip in them, and after my experience with my onion, I always will travel with a square like that. And the beauty of making poultice in the cloth is there's just less mess. It's no fun if you've got bits of ginger falling through your clothes. So what we're going to do is I'm going to show you how to make the ginger poultice. And I always lay a square of plastic down. Now, cling wrap is very hard to control, so I fold it over and over and over a few times so that it's a little bit more controllable. I put that down. I put my cloth down, and then I grate straight into the cloth. I'm a cook, and I like as least washing up as possible. You could grate it onto a plate, but then you've got the plate. Then you've got some of the juice stays on the plate. But if you do it like this, straight into the poultice, you're getting all the juice. So, and the way I'm grating it now, that's the best way to make a ginger tea. In fact, if I'm doing a ginger poultice and all the little bits like this, I usually put in a cup and pour boiling water on that. My grandmother used to say to me a lot, she used to say, waste not, want not. And so I don't waste much. So you scrape that ginger off. Now when I say ginger's for joint, it's excellent for any joint inflammation. What the ginger appears to do is pull the inflammation out of the joint.
Even muscles?
Mostly joints. So here's our ginger. That's about how much you'd use. That might be 2 teaspoons. And then you fold it over. I say we're folding over north, south, and east, west. So top and bottom, and then over to the other sides, like that. And when you've made that, you turn it over. Now, can you see the moisture coming out there? It's quite wet. And that's what I like to do. You have, it's probably a centimetre and a half plastic all the way around. And what that does is that the plastic insulates it, and it also prevents spoilage of your clothes. And you would lay it onto the area like that and check that the plastic's covering it, and then tape it on or bandage it on. Now, when I was young, I had a few injuries, as I think we all do. And I had a few injuries to my lower back. Most of the time, my lower back's very happy, but I think with all the travelling that I've been doing, it was very unhappy last week, incredibly unhappy, to the point where sometimes it was very hard to even move. And I was putting the hot water bottle on my lower back, and that brought a lot of relief, but then it got to the point where it started to inflame it even more. And I woke in the middle of the night, and I could not find a position that was not painful. So I got up and went down to the kitchen, found a grater, found some ginger. I had to go to the cook the next day and I said, look, it looks like that because I've got to it in the middle of the night. And I grated the ginger, and because I didn't have any cloths, I just used the kitchen paper, put it on the plastic, laid it on my lower back, and then just put some undies on that came up high to hold it in place, and then laid down on my lower back with my knees in the air so my back's flat onto the poultice. At first it's cool, but then it took about half an hour and the heat, so hot. See, the reason why a hot water bottle on a painful area helps is because when you're in pain, it's almost as if the muscles go out in sympathy and they cramp. And even though you try and relax, it's hard to relax when you're in a lot of pain. So what the ginger poultice does, it's pulling the inflammation out of the joint. That's causing a lot of heat in the area, and that heat relaxes the muscles. Oh, I got so much relief. I just fell asleep and I slept for 5 hours without a break. And when I got up in the morning, my lower back was not as sore. Now, as you can see in my travels, I have certainly been afflicted. Afflicted by many things. But I thank God for these natural remedies. And we know that this is a work that the devil hates. But I thank God that many of the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers him out of them all. And a just man falls 7 times and rises up again, is that right? And I was just very thankful that as I lectured, you couldn't tell that my back was very sore. When I sat down, it hurt. This made such a difference, such a difference. So at first I was getting worried with the hot water bottle, but then it seemed to just inflame it more. But the beauty of this is it creates a heat that will relax the cramping muscles, but it pulls the inflammation out of the joint. So one lady, she had a very painful finger. It was like an arthritic finger. And she said, I haven't been able to bend my finger for a year. And she said, it's always painful. She said, sometimes it's hard to get to sleep. So we did a tiny little ginger poultice. Covered it with a little bit of plastic, taped it on. And we always ask God to bless it. Because, you know, there are many methods of healing, but there's only one that God approves of. And that's the method that works with the healing powers of the body and uses the herbs that he's given for the service of men. The next morning, the lady came running in with this big smile. She said, look, 1 night of a ginger poultice. It had just taken the inflammation out enough for her to be able to bend her finger. And I have many stories. We could be here till midnight with the stories that I have. But when you start doing this, you will have stories. And your story is the most powerful one, yes?
So with the ginger, where does the inflammation go? And how can we get it out completely from the body?
The inflammation appears to go into the poultice. Because the heat, now if you can put this ginger poultice on an area that's not inflamed and there'll be no heat. The heat only seems to, and that's why I have just come to the conclusion that it's pulling the inflammation out of the joint to the skin. And one lady said to me, Barbara, the poultice is getting so hot. I said, well, if it's too hot to bear, just take it off. Because even if it's on for half an hour, it seems to have an effect. And one lady saw my lecture on YouTube and she put it on her knee. And she was so excited. It got really hot. And after about 3 hours, when she took it off, she could move her knee and it wasn't near as painful, wasn't totally gone. So she put another one on. She put one on in the morning, another one on in the afternoon, had her shower, was so excited, she put another one on overnight. And when she woke up in the morning, all the tissues were swollen and there were little blisters on the skin. And she emailed me, she said, what have I done? And I laughed, I said, you've just overdone it. It pulled too much inflammation out to the point that it irritated the skin. She said, what will I do now? Potato. Oops, can't find my potato. Did we get a potato? We'll get a potato. A potato poultice reduces the inflammation of the tissues, whereas this reduces the inflammation in the joint. And I said to her, you probably won't be able to do a potato poultice, a ginger poultice, sorry, for about 4 or 5 days till that recovers. So when someone wants to do a ginger poultice on an inflamed joint, I usually say, just do it for 2 hours in the afternoon. And if you just do it for 2 hours in the afternoon, it'll get the inflammation down enough so you can sleep. And then don't do it again till maybe 2 hours the next afternoon. And what one lady said, the first ginger poultice was so hot. But she said the second one wasn't so hot. And I said, isn't that interesting? So it pulled out a lot in the first, and maybe there's not as much to pull out in the second. So the question, what do you do to prevent that inflammation? We'll be looking at the acid alkaline balance in the body on Sunday afternoon, where I'll be showing you that an alkaline diet reduces the acidity in the body. So these are things to note when you're making up your program for people with arthritis. Yeah?
I'm just wondering, could fresh turmeric also have a similar function because it helps with the pain?
That is true. Fresh turmeric internally has more of an effect reducing inflammation than fresh or dried ginger internally. So that is interesting. We have found that taking turmeric internally greatly reduces the inflammation, much more than taking the ginger internally. But on the other hand, applying the poultice, we find the ginger more effective. Mm-hmm. And how did I found that out? Just by doing it. Mm-hmm. Just by doing it. So this is where you play with it and you're watching your body's response. Your body's response will teach you, thank you. Your body's response is your guide. And the people you are helping, their response is your guide. Now what you can do is you can make up this ginger poultice a few hours ahead of time. You can fold it over and you can keep that in the fridge till the person needs it. I wouldn't make it the day before, because it is a fresh vegetable which will start to deteriorate.
It applies the fresh ginger, not the powder.
No, the ginger is the most potent.
But if I have the fresh ginger in the freezer,
yeah,
can I use it?
You certainly can. We often freeze our ginger and on an inflamed joint, the frozen poultice feels very nice initially, but of course eventually the heat from it also feels nice. And this is where with someone with arthritic joints, you could do the hot and colds on them like we looked at yesterday, hot and cold hand baths. Mm-hmm. And then after you've done that, then apply the ginger poultice. We usually apply the ginger poultice maybe 6 o'clock at night, so that by 8 o'clock we can say to our guest, does that feel good? And often they go, oh yes. So you're happy to sleep with that all night? Yes. But if we say, how does it feel? Oh, it's just too hot. You say, oh, we'll take it off because we don't want to interfere with sleep. Whereas if you put it on just before they go to bed, they could wake up a couple of hours later, it's too hot, I can't sleep. So we find that a good idea because you don't know what effect it's going to have. And some people can handle, as we looked at hydrotherapy yesterday, some people can handle more heat than others. But I find with the arthritic joints, they're usually saying, oh no, it feels lovely. We've even done one overnight and saw the lady still got it in the afternoon. I said, you still got your poultice on? She said, oh yes, I love it. I said, you could take it off now. And what we find, because we have a steam sauna at the end of every day, our guests do, is that they might have it on for 3 hours in the morning and take it off. And then they go into the steam bath and the knee gets really, really hot. Well, the skin does from the ginger poultice that they had that morning. Yes?
So what is the longest time I should leave the ginger poultice on?
Do you know, I don't think... it's really done all its work in the first probably 3 hours. So there is no need to leave it on any longer. But you probably wouldn't want, you know, and some people have it on overnight and then take it off in the morning, yes?
The cause of arthritic joints, what do we know about that? What is causing it?
So the cause of arthritic joints can be a few things, and I'll be covering that in detail when we look at the acid alkaline lecture. See, my mother had rheumatoid arthritis to the point where she was a cripple in a wheelchair and she died at the age of 51, a cripple in a wheelchair with rheumatoid arthritis. My mother didn't know, and at that stage, I was only 25, I didn't know. No. I didn't know, but I realise now that Mum didn't drink any water. She would have 3 or 4 cups of tea a day. She was almost addicted to pain-killing medication. And she had meat, and the only bread she had was white bread and sugar biscuits. And, wow, when I look at Mum's diet now, I just go, yes, 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 tick, 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 tick. And what tipped the scales was my father. He wanted to change jobs. He'd been a manager in a big construction factory, but a friend of his had a Shell service station. Do you call it service station? Gas, yeah. They call it gas station. Mm-hmm. And so he wanted to change careers and run a service station. And so it meant leaving our childhood home and going to another area, and my mother did not want to go. But she went. And my father said within 6 months of moving into the new house, she started to get pains. And within another few months, she was bedridden or wheelchair ridden. So I guess that, you know, dear old Mum. So looking at some of the factors that came together, I think there was also an emotional factor there. And I have strong inherited genes towards rheumatoid arthritis. And I think the few injuries I've sustained to my lower back, I wouldn't be surprised if there's a little arthritis in there. But I manage it. I eat a largely alkaline diet. If it starts to speak too strongly to me, I put the ginger on. So another illustration of how you can manage what's happening in you. Because I'm way past 51 and I'm not a cripple in a wheelchair. So that's a good illustration that genetics may load the gun, but it is lifestyle that pulls the trigger. And my mum didn't know. So many are sick through ignorance. So that's the ginger, and we're going to look at potato. And when we've looked at potato, we're going to have a break. So let me show you potato. The potato you make very similar the way we made the ginger. But potato is quite wet. I find it even wetter than ginger. And there's nothing worse than leaking potato poultices. So I'm very fussy how I make a poultice because I have had some staff that are a little bit sloppy with it, and then the guests wake up in the morning and there's grated potato all through the bed, you know, and stained on the sheets. Whew. And often if that happens, that guest don't want another poultice because it was just too messy. And so it's important to be very neat with your poultices. So with the grated potato poultice, it reduces joint, well, the ginger's the joint, it reduces tissue inflammation. So where would we use the potato poultice? Anywhere where there's tissue inflammation. Now you might be familiar with Ellen White's comments on James chapter 5, where it says the prayer of faith shall save the sick. I think it's James chapter 5, 15. The prayer of faith shall save the sick and the Lord shall raise him up. And Ellen White says in the Bible commentary 7a, she said, it is not enough to pray. She said, when you pray, God will bring to your mind a simple natural treatment. Mm-hmm. A simple natural treatment. Now, if you don't know any treatments, how can we bring it to mind? I love memorizing, you've probably noticed. And it's taken me many, many years to memorize. But what I love about memorizing is God will bring them to my mind at the exact time to speak them or share them. And so, but God could not do that if I hadn't already put them in there. And it's the same with the natural remedies. It's important in times of sunshine. And when we look at what's ahead, we're in times of sunshine really, aren't we? So this is the time to prepare. This is the time to gain a knowledge on these simple things. So there's your potato poultice. You can probably hear that. It's a little wet. I've seen some potato poultices and people have done almost three times as much potato as that. But then you've got, it drips. It drips everywhere. Now, the beauty of making a poultice the way I have, you've got a lot of packing at the back. So if there is a little bit of excess juice, this packing at the back is going to take it up. And notice again, we've got probably a good centimetre and a half, sometimes two, around the poultice. So where would you apply this poultice? You would apply this poultice wherever there's tissue inflammation. So if someone sprains their ankle, do the hot and colds. And remember my daughter Julia, she couldn't handle the straight ice, so we did a minute hot and a minute cold. And you'll go more to the minute cold if there's a lot of inflammation. And then one time we did the potato and another time we did cabbage. And when you use cabbage, you've got to pulverize the leaves so they're soft. Or you could dip the leaf in boiling water and wrap it around the leg. So cabbage and potato are very similar in their effect and it'll reduce the inflammation. Ingrown toenails are fantastic for hot and colds, ingrown toenail, then grated potato. And that grated potato will get that inflammation right down, as will the hot and colds. And then, and only then, could you cut that nail. Don't even try and cut that nail when it's inflamed and sore. I remember a man visited once and he had a toe twice as big as toes should be. And he had an ingrown toenail. He was a visitor. And some of the people were saying, let's get scissors and cut it. The poor man's looking horrified. And I said, no. We're going to do the hot and colds. That brought him 50% pain relief. How long does it take for a painkiller to work? We looked at this the other day. It takes half an hour. Well, he had relief in 15 minutes, 50% relief. And then we put a grated potato on. Oh, he couldn't stop looking at me and smiling. And he told me that he did it again when he got home, and when he woke up in the morning and took it off, the toe was right back. It looked like a dried prune. That's all right. But it had come right back to normal and it was starting to leak the pus. Okay, and then he's got total relief. There's a lot to say on the grated potato. I'd like to call a break now. And when we come back, I'm going to explore this a little bit more.